purpose for this, along with a lot of the other studies we've been doing the past couple of months, is to get us some back in focus and some in focus. You know what I mean? And why am I saying that? Because you're still watching, and a lot of us still are religious. We were still following things based on desire, but in a religious way. And that's one of Satan's major distractions. That's why it says he comes disguised as an angel of light. His purpose is to mislead and to use us as tools to mislead. Okay. And if you're not careful, you're going to think you know what's good and what's bad, and you're going to consider, and it's going to be your own definition of what's good and what's bad. You're going to feel comfortable in what you think is what's good and what's bad. And in doing so, you're going to miss the signs. You're going to miss the instructions God has put in place, and you'll end up just living thinking you're holy and end up being on the other side saying, Lord, and he's going to go, I never knew you. So we don't want that. And there's no reason we should have that. But what's disturbing is we hear it, we have access to it, and we still abandon it. We still are not following it the way we should. So why is it called Beware of the Weeds? Well, it's going to come from a passage in Matthew 13, but we'll get to that. But first, we have to understand something about ourselves. I think in many cases, we meet people, and this is what ends up being very scary, is we meet people, and there's a lot of people we meet that we are very taken by. We admire them. They really hit our desires. They pull us in a way that we really think they're good people. We will call them good people. All of us, includes myself, where I've seen and had that. But what's scary is I felt that way not only about Christians, but about non-Christians. And then later on, I found out I felt that way about Christians that probably were not Christians. And in my emotional way, I wanted God to go, well, he meant well. Like I said, meant well will kill you. And I mean eternally kill you. Hopefully you realize this. So what God wants us to do, and this is why the verse comes in where it says, and me and Brother Chris were talking about this, and I remember even brought up the line where it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I don't know if we really take that serious. The fear and trembling, the reverence, which is so non-existent today, this stuff would come easy to us because we'd always check with them. But I can assure you we're not doing that. Now, I'm hoping after we go through this study, even more so, we'll go, okay, got it. I got to be, more meticulous about how I'm using God's word in my life, how I'm walking, and the things that I'm doing. So now, first of all, the life we live defines what we are. I know, especially in the age that we're in now, where we taught people that you say a few words and now you're a Christian. Okay? And in doing so, we want to remove works so bad, we like to give this aura of something that's just going to happen and then, the sky lights up and then you become a good person. What you're finding in the church is just as wicked, if not worse than the world is, because we've given them an identity. And in some cases, we told them, once you get that identity, you can't lose it, right? And people are living with that mindset, and they're out there doing these things that you're going to see these warnings of, are they really Christian? So he shows in John 3, 19 through 21, this is the verdict, okay? And he's saying, this is the answer for us to recognize, light has come into the world. Okay, Christ has been here, and we understand it, and he's here for us. But men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Okay, our actions are evil. Now, one thing Satan has done successfully is put in our head that person over there is bad. There's a group of people, like I said, all of us would agree are evil, which then waters down our evils to make us think we're not evil. We'll just say, well, that's just me. We've even passed laws of things that are legal, but are still evil. And we just fall on what's legal, not what's evil, or whatever, what more people accept, but not what God says. And he makes very clear in verse 20, everyone who does evil hates the light. So me within myself, you within yourself, really doesn't love what Christ has done. I think being naive, we think we do. We have moments where we enjoy receiving it, but true love is going to be our actions displaying it. You know what I mean? So what that means is, if I truly love the light, you're going to see in this passage what that will look like. And thanks be to God, he has placed it in us through the Holy Spirit to do this, so I don't have to depend on me, and so you don't have to depend on you. But that's why we must be spiritual in order for that to happen. I have to be spiritual for that to happen. So everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. So me as a person, I don't want to truly be a Christian because you'll see how evil I really am. Okay? But he says in verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth, that's the answer. Remember, I said we got to be spiritual. How do I be spiritual? By living by the truth. It's just like, and I'm simplifying it here, you're using the Bible as that instruction book to put something together, and that's your life. And you do it exactly. Now, where do we get lost? We use some of the Bible. As I said, you can ask my wife. Many times we bought stuff from IKEA and other places, and I had to put it together. And when I was young and just thought I had everything together, you don't know how many times I'd either be out there forever putting it together because I can do this, I know how it looks, or I'd read part of the instructions. Sometimes after I messed up, I would then go to the instructions only to find out I have to take half of it apart. It was foolish, exactly what it was. Now I'm an old age man, I'm following it step by step. Right? In the same way, that's how we're supposed to do the Bible. But because we take it and we piecemeal it and we do it, we're not living by the truth. It's going to be all or nothing. God is not impressed with parts. And that's where they get you. That's where, remember, he's disguised, Satan disguised themselves as an angel of light. Okay? Him and his minions. And all of them come in to give you the appearance of, we're going to talk about that. But it says, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. That's that person who's using the Bible as their step-by-step instruction book. And if you're not solid with that, it's not solid. And I'm not talking about you're very strong in this part of the Bible, but this part you're ignoring, that's not you. That's not talking about you, right? You're straddling the fence and you're very deceptive and you want to be careful of that. He says, so that it may be, watch this, seen plainly. That what he has done has been done through God. Very important. That's why you hear me in my prayers say to minister to the world and to encourage one another. If I do it totally by the truth, I won't mislead those in the body and I won't misminister to those who are not in the body. We're in an age right now, there's a bunch of people who have claimed the name of Christianity, and it's disturbing and embarrassing. Because they're not by the truth. But what's even more disturbing and embarrassing is how many follow them. And I'm talking about on all sides, all sides. You have very conservative groups that'll claim Christianity, and people follow me, and the majority of stuff they're doing is not godly. Do they have some things that look godly? Absolutely. But the majority of it isn't, and we just ignore that and jump on the bandwagon. You have very liberal groups that'll have these things. They'll think they're showing, like, how we care and love about people, and they'll love people their ways. But once again, do they have some things that look godly? Absolutely. But the majority of things are not. They're evil. And this is what they present, and you should see it plainly. The reason why we're not seeing it plainly is because we stop looking at what God has given, and we start clinging on to traditions of religion. There's Christian things that we are used to doing that we continue to do. That if you go in the Bible and say, I need you to show me this thing that we're holding strong to, but that's the one thing that's really misleading us. Something to think about, okay? Because we want it to be seen plainly. When they see us, they'll be able to go in the Word, this is what he's doing, and this, it's going to minister to them. But when I do something that the world calls godly, but it's not godly, guess what? It's not godly. Just because you label it that doesn't make it godly. And 3 John verse 11, it says, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Plain and simple. These are actions. This is how I live. Anyone, here's another evidence or characteristic. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Now, here's the important part. If I keep following the world's definition of that, we redefined good and evil. We redefined it. We changed what they mean. And there's a lot of people doing evil that we follow, we put on pedestals, we say, man, it's godly and all this other stuff, and they're downright evil. But it doesn't fit our today definition of evil. I mean, you have to be a clear murderer. You have to attack children. There's some basic things we all agree on. But even in that, we have differences in agreement. Oh, because we're trying to do it, right? But he gives us a key in this verse. He says, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Well, what is good? God. What is God? He's Christ. What is Christ? The Word. And the Word is the truth. See how that comes together? Right? So I have access to what is good. Then why am I doing this other stuff and calling it good? That's how the flesh works. That's how we're misled. So if we have this understanding, then we won't go with our gut feeling. We won't go with what somebody else says. We'll only go with what the Word says. Even as a pastor, there's certain things and times I get to meet, or if I have, and I haven't in a while, but when you meet with others and they have certain traditions and certain ways of talking, certain ways of dealing with certain things, it's still foreign to me because as they were doing it or as they're practicing it, I would go, can I see that in the Bible? And even if they wouldn't tell me, I'd go looking for it. And I'm like, what? So it's how a funeral goes, how a wedding's supposed to go, how we're supposed to counsel with somebody, all of this stuff. They do have things put out there, but it's not always all godly. Same thing, Christians, just because you're following the patterns of Christianity today, are you truly following Christianity? And yes, you have the Bible, you have access to what that truth is. Are you reverently checking for it? Now let's look at this. Jesus warned that there will be bad mixed in with the good. This is where we get the title of it. In Matthew 13, 37 through 43, it says, he answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. So he went through the parable and he explained this whole thing of planting the seed and then the enemy come across and plants his seed until they grew. And now he's explaining. So the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man because only God is good. So what he's presenting is God. I do exactly what my father tells me, all of that. He says the field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom because it goes for the word and with the word in us. And remember, if we live that way, then we are from God. And once again, it's seen plainly, as we just seen. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. Now, here's the problem. He's not talking about believers and unbelievers as a whole. Okay, unbelievers are still those outside. This is talking about within the body. We're talking about those within the body. If you can't tell the difference between believers and unbelievers, that's a whole nother problem. And what some churches have done is anytime they speak of evil, they'll go, oh, they're talking about unbelievers. Now, they may be unbelievers, but they're just unbelievers disguising themselves as believers. And they even disguise it from themselves. They truly believe, well, I'm a believer. Okay, but we're talking about those that are within what we call the body. They call themselves Christians, and then he says, okay, I'm going to show you what that means. So the ones who are the weeds are those. The ones who are the tares, as we will, are the good ones. That's going to be the ones that come from God. And he shows us how we can tell the difference. He says, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. Plain and simple, that's Satan who has done this. He planted those perfectly within the body. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. Okay, you remember that? When he's going to come, they're going to separate them onto the two sides, and we should get an understanding of who is where and what. And all of this is almost cut and dry. But like I say, where we struggle with it is because human feelings get in the way. And I still think a lot of us struggle with how God's doing. How come God doesn't see it our way? How come he's not doing it the way we think? Once again, reverence would go, Keith, you're evil. Why are you even questioning? Go to the truth. What he's doing is absolutely right. But we allow our feelings and all that other nonsense to get in the way. So then he goes in verse 40, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire. We do know what that means. We're going to even see that clearly. Okay, that's what he says. When the harvest at the end of the age, the harvesters are the angels, and that's when he's get them. And where are the ones who are not Christian? They're going to go to hell. He says, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will weed out of his kingdom. Do you see? Weed out of his kingdom everything that, and he's given us two things. What are they doing? Causing sin and all who do evil. That means they're causing sin and they're doing sin or they're sinning. They will throw them into the fiery furnace. Once again, hell, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear, let him hear. And here's that he who has an ear. He said, make sure you get this. Right now, two things cause sin. In other words, they're going to be major stumbling blocks and do evil. The stuff they're doing is wicked. Now, just look at those two words because a lot of times, and I'm going to start with wicked. When you see the word wicked, we already have a definition in our mind of what's wicked. But you get these people that present themselves as holy. They'll say the right things at the right time. They'll touch the certain desires of certain people while they're still wicked. Because remember, you only have the two choices. So when you see these people who are ministering or whatever, but then they're also doing this other stuff, automatically wicked. You can't serve two masters. You can't have the mixture. But that's how Satan has gotten over on us, because we'll grab the good. Amen, or what we think is good, and then somebody else will go, but they did, and they didn't, yeah, whatever, right? But they're a good person, and I'm going to continue to follow evil, not realizing it. And they're stumbling blocks because they're either allowing me to sin one way or the other. You have groups, as we're going to see in this study, things that are blatant, clearly sin, and churches that endorse them, plain. I mean, he's showing us this is wrong. And now you get churches, they're solely built on that. And I said the disturbing part is we don't have droves of Christians going, wait, this is not right. We go, hey, I like this church because I like the way they do things. And the other one goes, hey, I like this church because I like the way they do things. So where do? We go to churches which benefit us based on us. Itching ear churches. So remember, cause sin, do evil. Very clear characteristics. So it's up to us to allow ourselves to be protected by God. How God's protection works is like an umbrella. If it's raining and I'm carrying my umbrella, I can't get mad at the umbrella if I don't open it. That's the first thing. Second thing is if it's raining and I open the umbrella, but I don't put it over me to protect me, I'm still not protected from the rain from the umbrella. It's not until I use it the way I'm supposed to with the purpose of being protected, correct? I think anything we buy, it'll say it will not work if not used as directed. And that's the same thing, and even more so with God. So when you hear me say it's up to us to allow ourselves to be protected by God, God's protection is always there. The reason why we get messed up is because we leave his protection. And it says in Matthew 7, 15 through 20, watch out for false prophets. Where we fail is we think because of God's protection over me, I'll automatically know when they're false. And the reason why I think we all know this is there's a ton of false prophets and teachers out there. And people, we just follow them. We listen, we go, and we do it. He told us to watch out for them. Okay, and I could do a whole study, and we've done that on false prophets because it showed us exactly how to do it. He says they come to you in sheep's clothing. So their presentation will be religious to try to look like us. They'll look like Christian. But if I don't know what a Christian is, I'm going to miss the second part because he says, but inwardly, they are ferocious wolves. But God is done with these people that are trying to play the part, and especially if I stay naive, I'm going to be conned all the time. He provided us a fail-safe. He says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Why do I call it a fail-safe? He's showing you can't be both. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. He's basically saying it's impossible. That's our fail-safe. Because I know we think, but man, this person was this way and this man was this way. How it is, and it's going to be how we live. Now, a person can backslide. They can turn from a good tree to a bad tree, as we see through the word of backsliding and leaving and you know, that aspect of it. But you can't do both. And the way you have to put it is, if there's bad and I'm disturbed or mixed up on what the good is, I see bad, you're a bad tree. And it'll be seen. You know what I mean? Now, does this mean you never do anything wrong? No. The Bible talks about those who fall, those who sin. You know, restore them gently, rebuke them. So it's going to happen, but it won't be how I'm defined. So watch that. When a person talks about a person's characteristics and they fit these characteristics that are bad, there's a problem. If they're saying that about me, you know, Pastor Keith, and you start going down these things we're about to go over. And that's the characteristics, you know, of me. But I have moments of godliness. I'm not godly. You understand? Those moments are where the disguise comes in, where the masquerading comes in. And I'm fooling myself if that's me. Because he said our failsafe is by their fruit. Their fruit is what they're going to be seen. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. There's that fire again. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize. So fruit is not just our calling card, it's our protection, and it's part of, and I always said, if you really want to know what a Christian is, First John does a great job of telling, if you do this, you're not. If you do this, you're not, so on and so forth. And it kind of lets us know the characteristics so we can check ourselves. But do we check ourselves? So now we have what we need to distinguish between the weeds and the tares. We have everything we need. Matthew 12, he goes over this same thing again. 33 through 37, he says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. That's what I'm saying. If you become a Christian, truly become a Christian, not claim Christianity, not just join a church. And that was one thing, even when FSG, our one thing when we talked about in the very beginning, the reason why we didn't have membership is because many churches have membership and people are members of that church and never become Christian, because I think they think they're synonymous. Go to church, I'm working every day in church, and I do this for my church, but they've never accepted Christ, and their lives don't reflect that. So be careful of that. Okay? So when he says make a tree good, you want them to be godly, and God gives the specific steps for that to happen. Okay? But he's saying if I make a tree bad, then the fruit will be bad. He says, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. And he says, to those religious leaders and the ones who are, you know, giving their version of it, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? Now let that sink in. I should have highlighted that, but I didn't. But he says, basically, if I'm not godly, I don't care how hard I try, I can't present godly. I can't. Impossible. Even though there'll be hints of godliness, it's still not godly. And a person who's once again being protected will see that. They'll hear sermons. I've yet, like I said, to hear something. And I ain't gonna lie, my flesh adores and loves some of the things I hear. But immediately, we can find it when it's not sound. Okay, they're done. Immediately. But if I'm going by my flesh, I'm still gonna be misled by them, and I gotta be very careful. So that's why he's saying, you brood of vipers. He's talking to those guys because they were supposed to be the standard of religious leaders. They were supposed to be, you know, what you were supposed to be reaching for. He says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he makes clear the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. Remember, only way you're good is if you're godly, because only God is good. Okay, so if I'm godly, that means I'm truly reverently living for God. The stuff I'm going to give you is only going to come from God. It even had to adjust, and when I do counseling, I have a lot of ideas, I have a lot of suggestions, but I got to let them go to make sure what I'm giving you is solidly supported by God. Does that make sense? That I can show you scripture to show you this is what you're supposed to do. I've seen people, and I'm sure we've all been there, where somebody is frustrated with you or with me, and they come with suggestions or advice. I think you should do this, and if you do, and we'll even get upset if they don't. Now, what you're giving me is a suggestion. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying understand that's all it is, right? That's all. It's just a suggestion. And if it's within disputable matters, I can take it or leave it. But if it's something that you're saying I must live by, you better make sure the foundation of it is Christ. Because we have a lot of people in the world who are successful, but they're doomed for hell. We have a lot of people who are going to churches every day, but they're doomed for hell. And unfortunately, we become part of that problem when we give them our good and not the good. See the difference? Okay? You got to get that because it's important when we minister. Am I giving them what God said, or am I giving them my interpretation of God? The evil man will do that. Evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. That's when I'm depending on the flesh. It'll feel good. It'll seem good. Make a good Hallmark movie and all these other nonsense we have out here, but it's still wicked because it didn't come from God. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Now, why is this so important? And especially for us in the ministry, but us as Christians, because he didn't just say wrong word, he said careless. Think about that. Now, why is it careless? Because I wasn't reverent. I gave you what I thought and what I felt, what I may have experienced. What I didn't give you is what he said. Amen? And like I said, I'm terrified of doing that. That's why I give so much scripture in everything I do. I'm not telling anybody to do that, but make sure your foundation is that. Make sure that whatever you're telling, you can come back to, let me show you the scripture that solidly shows you that. Okay, and that's important. If not, I'm being careless. Right? I'm being careless for every careless word that you have spoken. He says, for by your words you will be acquitted, or by your words you will be condemned. What does that look like? He'll say, Keith, why did you do that? There's only one right answer. It is written. Keith, why'd you do that? What do we do today? Well, I thought, I felt, well, I meant, you know what I meant, and I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you to reach out and touch the ark, even though it seems like the best thing to do, but you did it. Instead of going, well, the reason why I didn't touch the ark is because your word said. The reason why I probably wouldn't even be part of the team because your word said. That should be our answer for everything. Keith, what did you do in your relationship? Well, your word said. How did you raise your children? Your word said. How are you with your wife? Your word said. How about at work? Let me show you what your word says. That's the only right answer, okay? But even still today, you get Christians, and they'll give you this long answer that can be convincing to the human ear, but to the spiritual focused, you should immediately go, no, that's wrong. Okay, and dangerous, and we're going to have to answer to God for that. So if you want to know if you're living right, it's nothing to be just scared about. It's not some mystery that you can't figure out. The basic question is, okay, why did I do what I did all day? What is my, what we call life purpose? I'm going to talk about that, okay? But he says, by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. Because remember, the first word is when you do get saved, you're saying, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now, if I'm saying he's Lord, then like he did with God the Father, we do with our Lord. I do exactly what he tells me to do. That means I'm going in the Word and doing exactly. Why do we get these ministers and people that adjust, add to, take away from? They become the authority. We run to human beings and organizations to tell us what we should do in the Bible and what we shouldn't. Now, how are you going to answer that to God? Well, my pastor said, my organization said, well, we've always done. None of those are going to fly. And that's where we mess ourselves up. And this is why the whole thing of weeds become confusing, because a lot of times we kind of dabble in the weeds ourselves. Now, how the weeds live will differ from the tares. Okay? Tares are the good things, if y'all didn't know that. So it's the actual plants that you planted. Okay? The weeds are those things you have to pull up and get rid of because they're getting in the way and they're taking all the resources from the tares. John 3, 17 through 18 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. His whole purpose wasn't to come and just say, sinner, 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 you're all going to hell. No, it says, but to save the world, watch this, through him. Big answer, right? So why are we now offering other avenues when the only door is through him? We'll blame it on him, but ask me how, explain to me how we have two or multiple sides of people who call themselves God's people. And you'll have some that'll go, nope, we're the only group. And you'll have others go, there are multiple groups. There is a group, but it shouldn't be the way we've made it. No organization down here is it. It's going to be Christians, and we should be all over the world. Fortunately, the number is smaller than those who are not, but hopefully we already know that. That's why he says many are called, but few are chosen, right? The many and few, even on the path that we're taking, it's just what we do. We continue to stay within darkness. Okay? So he says, he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And then he says, here's the response. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Remember what belief is in James 2? It says Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. And how did he believe God? He didn't just have faith, he lived it. Go kill your son. That sounds harsh when we say it, but it's exactly what he was saying. Abraham said, got it. Now, pay close attention to us. Like, we'll do it with life, we'll do it with marriage. I think how many of us really got married to glorify God? I mean, that was the main reason. We usually get married for us, our happiness, our loneliness, our companionship. I can name a lot of things that people go, yeah, that's why I want that. And that's what we married for. And then we hope we'll go to church. But sometimes that'll even distract. Church becomes secondary, but it's about my happiness, my companionship, we allow all that stuff to trump what God has said for the simple purpose because it was still about us. The problem here. Right? But a person who believes will go, I adore this person, but we are not glorifying God. We're not headed on that path. So I have to. How many do that? Right? How many really do that? And then when they get in marriage, then that person has to keep your attention and make you happy, and you have to be satisfied with them. And it's all about us. And Satan's like, oh man, I'm going to really mess this up. This is why you see people get marriages and they get out there and they do things. Why? Because it's about them. Instead of, are we living? Are we married to glorify God? And that's just an example. Even how we raise our kids, how we go to work, all of that plays a part and it make a difference in what you do. So whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Okay? We have his word, we have his instruction, and as you're going to hit, just to let everybody know, and I think you may know it. Just by saying it, but how many of you realize you faced it? You're going to hit crossroads where you have to make a decision. And many times, the one decision is going to be by far the most desirable decision. In fact, some of you, if not most of us, it will be a dream. This is what I wanted. The other answer will be the truth. And you're like, why can't it be both? And that's what we've done. That's what some churches have taught. I'm going to go this way because it's the desire that I want. And this is just life in general, right? And I'm going to live the truth. Not realizing, but no, just from you going that way, your purpose has changed and you can't live the truth. But many think they are because they're serving both. I'm feeling good and I'm being good. He already told you, you can't do. You're going north, south, which you can't go, right? So that life purpose is what comes into play. I have to recognize, okay, it's not what I do. What will mold what I do is why. And that's for everything. Do you notice? And one of the things, and it breaks my heart because what some people have done when they go to organizations is they'll be the first to want to join and do stuff for people. They'll be some of the most helpful people. Like when we can go, help the poor, help somebody in need, they'll be some of the most reliable people. And that's great. You don't ever want that to change. But unfortunately, in those people, that'll be their godliness. Now, every aspect of your life will be rotten. They'll do things their own way. They'll still go by their own attitude and their own flesh. But man, when you have those moments of doing it, you see where I'm going with this. Some would go on these major mission trips and it's a feel-good event, but how are you when you leave that mission trip? Not knocking the mission trip, but what we tend to do is we have moments thinking that defines the whole. Okay? Even a rotten apple has parts on it that don't look rotten. And that's what we're doing when we have that. We have that moment. So life purpose will be evident. This is not some hidden thing. This is not something you have to ask somebody for. You really just watch it. And you should ask people, because some of us are blind and we go to people and say, I need you to tell me the truth and I'm not going to get upset. Please understand it, because a lot of times we don't get the truth because we can't handle the truth. And I'm not speaking of a movie. You'll see when somebody gives you truth, man, you'll go into defense mode. You'll get offended. You'll get angry and you'll go find somebody that agrees with you. And we got to keep this clear, because the way you can not get offended is, hey, tell me what I'm doing. They'll give you advice and they'll give you the word. You'll have to go, got it. If they just give you advice, you can measure it. You know, where does that come from? That's from you. And you can go, okay, thank you. Do you see a difference? So the purpose we want to realize, Romans 2, 5 through 11 says, but because of your, and these are the two things that messes up our purpose, stubbornness and unrepentant heart. Now, your stubbornness is what the Israelites were. There are certain ways you just won't let go of. All right? Some of it is our attitude. We like staying angry. We like staying frustrated. We like staying emotional. We won't budge from that. You'll own it. I'm an emotional person. I myself have that problem that if I don't watch it, it can take over. Feelings get hurt very easy, and that can take over. And years I used to go, God, stop making my feelings feel. No, he didn't change that a bit. That still exists. And I would even tell people, stop doing that because you know it really hurt. Well, once again, people won't always do that. I want them to circle around me instead of me going, Keith, stop letting your body control what you are. And I had to adjust. Does the feeling still hit? Absolutely. But I have to respond to what he says. But if I didn't, I'm stubborn. Right? He gave me the answer to do it, but I go, I can't, or I just don't want. That's stubbornness. And that also shows unrepentance, because repentance isn't something you just say. People think repentance is saying, God, I'm sorry. Okay, repentance is an actual turning away from. You'll see the effort made, and the, you know, in the Old Testament, they had to, you know, fall into the ground, throw dust on their head, put sackcloth on. And I mean, you really seen that person was remorsing. He was just, I just feel so bad from what I did. A lot of times when we do something bad, we want people to get over it. All right, I did bad. And what do? We do it again. And we go, okay, I did bad. We have maybe a small moment of remorse instead of living. All of us, because we're all sinners, should be living in remorse. That doesn't sound nice, does it? People don't like that. I don't want to live in remorse. I don't want to feel that way. Well, if we live in remorse, we'll come back and say, wait a minute. The main reason we're in this is because of us. And you'd recognize that and you'd be able to follow him. But right now we live entitled, because we really think we're good people. We're really trying. He says, stubbornness and your unrepentant heart. You are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. We saw that earlier about when his angels are going to come. Now, did you notice what he said? You are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. It won't be because of that person. It won't be because of how I was raised. It won't be because of stuff on television. It won't be because of what I'm surrounded by. None of that. Me. All me. Because he gave me everything I need for life and godliness. Remember? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Isn't that what it said? So we have what we need. I now just have to use it. You just have to use it. So then he breaks it down. There's only going to be two groups of people. There are no mixtures, there's no purgatory, there's no in-between. There is either one group or the other group. We'll talk about the good group, then we'll break down the bad group, and then we'll close. God will give to each person according, watch this, to what he has done. Now, if I stop there, you'll get that person that'll go, see, he's talking about gifts. You're all still going to heaven. He's talking about, no, this one's not talking about gifts. Well, it's not talking about gifts as you're thinking it. We're thinking of the gifts that all people in heaven are going to get, you know, some more and some less. But that's not what this is talking about. Look at his answer. He said, to those who by persistence. So in this, it starts off with how they're going to do it. You won't ever see them being done. You won't ever see them backsliding. You won't ever see them quitting. You won't ever see them allowing their emotions to kick in over their spirituality. They'll feel depressed. They'll feel sad, but they're still going to strive. That's persistence. So he said, what are they going to do by persistence? in doing good because they want to do what God says, they'll seek glory, honor, and immortality. Just like I was saying about the decisions you're going to have to make in life, you're going to have these two crossroads. That the person's sole reason is, will this glorify God? Will this get honor from God? And is this investing in eternity or temporary? Think about it, okay? Even though the minute the person starts to go, how can I get both? You're already in the second group, and I'll show you that. This first group, all God. And I'm not talking about our made-up religious God. I'm talking about biblical sound doctrine God. Okay? And we'll stay solid in that. So you're seeking that. And you're watching the person, and all their decisions are based on how does it solidly fit God. Okay? That's the good group. And look what he gives. He will give eternal life. That's the ultimate gift. That's not for some going to heaven. You're either going to get eternal life or you're not. All right? And only this group is going to get that. Now, what does the other group look like? But for those who are self-seeking, reject the truth, follow evil, there will be wrath and anger, which is hell. Now, self-seeking is it's speaking for itself when the purpose is me. And why did you do it? Because I felt, I really liked, I enjoyed, I'm inspired by, I'm influenced by. So it's all about me. And Satan's like, if I can just hit a nerve to make them come after me based on them, I got them. Go back and see what Eve said. It won't sound bad. The only reason why we know it's bad because it's in the Bible. But she made an assessment. The fruit's good. And you can gain knowledge. Christians still do that today. I can't see God, you know, not allowing this person who really wants to preach to preach. I can't see God, if when two people love each other, not allowed to, you'll hear them speak and they think they're speaking love and wisdom, and they're going against what is love and wisdom. God is love. God is wisdom. And we'll still assess, we'll still do it because we're self-seeking. Self-seeking doesn't just mean I'm looking out for self. I'm looking at things based on self, right? Okay? I have that view of things by my self view. Second thing, reject the truth. Now, does that mean you don't read the Bible? No. Does it mean you're not following the Bible? Not necessarily. It means you're not following all the Bible. The truth, if you notice, is singular because the Bible is the truth. I can't pick some of the truth and say I'm following the truth because if I'm not doing all the truth, it's not the truth. It's that cyanide and water. It's no longer pure. The truth is solid. It's the entire word. There won't be, I'm going to ignore this and just follow this and God's going to give me credit. And then on the other end of it, what they're really following is evil, even though it's disguised as good. Questions? All right. And today we didn't, since we didn't do communion in church with a lot of people being out, we're not doing it here yet, but I'm hoping to do it. If I don't want to have to wait till next fifth Sunday, but if we do, we do. But if not, I'll probably pick a day, one of the Sundays to do it, and we'll follow it on the Wednesday. And I'll let everybody know. We'll put it out there during the sermon on that. So we'll try to get everybody included in that. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But any questions, not just on this, but on anything else? If not, we'll go ahead and close. All right. As we say, please make sure you check me on this, quadruple check me on this, in your studies, talk about it, pray about it, in your individual study, make sure what I'm saying is solidly in the word, not something that I'm mixing or twisting. Please don't trust me. Trust God's word. Yes, sis.
Hi.
How you doing?
All right. I'm not quite
Good.
sure I asked this question, but I was talking to one of my newly married friends, and she her brother-in-law's wife is giving her a hard time, as in saying little things, and like little slick things, to her in front of her husband and the brother-in-law and their grown kid and his girlfriend. This is just one incident. And then she this has been going on like since she's been married, but when she gets around the bigger, larger group of family, she acts totally different towards her, nicer. And so she has gone to her and asked her several times, what have I done to you?
Right.
And she says she always says nothing. And then the one time, she went to her office and bought her flowers and asked her, and she started crying and says that, why is this happening to me? Like she's making herself the victim.
Who the woman that's doing this to her?
Right, let's call her Pat.
Okay.
So when my friend, her name, we'll call her Lonnie, when she went back and early on when she talked to her husband about it, he told her that this Pat has been a family for years, and Lonnie was jealous of her, and and she said, "Well, I'm not jealous of her," she said. "I'm very secure." He says, "Well, he just, again said that, she was jealous." So she said, "Well, now, life is still, going on." She said, "I really can't say anything to him because he says, thinks Sam that I'm jealous."
Right.
And this Lonnie is a very sweet, lovable person. Everybody knows her, just loves her. She's very, just a lovely person. So, she's trying to figure out, how to, get her husband. But she's been praying that God will open her husband's eyes. She prays for the Pat as well, that he can see her for who she truly is. And her husband, like, just does whatever she tells Pat tells her. So when she says something like, not very nice, and a husband won't say it, her Pat's husband won't say anything. And she, when he Pat talks to her, the one wife will give him a look, and then he'll get up and move, or he'll stop talking to her. So she's just trying to figure out how to, her husband's really not, coming to her aid or anything.
All right, so there's two things, very important things here. One, she's there's a struggle, and most couples have this struggle, and I'll do that one second. The first one that I applaud is she's still showing her love. Like you said, she bought her flowers. She bought Pat flowers. So she tell her to definitely continue to, as the Bible says, Romans 12, it shows us that, and tells us how to turn the other cheek. It shows us how to love our enemies. Continue to do that. It's a ministry. And you don't do it for results. You do it because God said so. So first of all, don't let her, become cold or in other words, in any way retaliate because of how she, no matter what, that's what she wants to do. Secondly, and if you heard, he has an opinion you're jealous. She has an opinion this girl's evil. That's not how communication goes. Where couples mess up is we come with our point of view. That's not how it's supposed to work. You assess. I want to hear where you're coming from. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. All my years of counseling, I've yet to find where it's totally one side and the other. There may be more weight on one than on the other. And what I'm saying is, and they're both Christian, right? Hopefully.
I'm the yeah, because she said the Pat is a deacon in the church.
All right. So with all that, and I'm not talking about Pat, I'm talking about her and her husband are Christian.
Oh yeah, they're both Christians.
Both Christian. So in that Christianity, I guess, and what she may have to do is present the Bible in the shrewdest way of doing it, but not just as shrewd and eye-opening to her. Have her go to him to explain what he means about her being jealous. Okay. But for her to say to him, but then I need you to listen to me where I'm coming from as well. And let us lay it out on the table. Couples, the problem is we still go at each other with how I see it, and then it ends. Instead of us, I need to see where you're coming from. The quick to listen aspect, there's a reason why he's saying jealous. He could be dead wrong, but you want to see where he's coming from. She could be dead wrong that maybe she is jealous. Maybe it's coming out of jealousy. But that's where couples mess up because we already go in thinking, because you're her friend and you said she's the sweetest, she's this, and I'm not denying that. What if there's something she's doing that's playing a part? And what if something, or vice versa? What if Pat is this evil one that's causing trouble? Or what if overall there's a mixture that they two can work out? But Satan wants you to keep your point of view. I mean, if his final answer, his assessment is just that you're jealous, he needs to be able to prove it. Same thing with her. She needs to prove I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to, and I've not done anything to get this. Do you understand? And that's what a husband and wife want to do, and you want to grow in that. But when you both have points of view and you stand firm on your point of view and don't hear where they're coming from, you're ignoring what God says. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That's very rare, even though he says everyone must be that. But that second one, if she gets with her husband, and first of all, just apologize if it came off the wrong way, this and that, I need to know, okay, so help me to understand why you say I'm jealous. Not just assuming, not, now after she lays that out, then she needs to go. Now, all I'm asking you to do is listen to me. I'm going to lay mine out there, and then we can come back and talk about it. I need you to think about it. Don't just judge me based on what you think and what you feel. Let's pray about it. Let's hear each other, and then we can talk about it. And hopefully that'll, I mean, I'm not just in this situation, it'll help their marriage overall.
I think that that I basically told her those things. I did tell her that to go to him, if the situation to give him a, when he says she does give him for him to give her an example why he feels that way, but to ask him to show her in the Bible and for her to show her point of view to him through the Bible.
Well done. Absolutely. What she doesn't want to do is it's easy for us to get combative and go with the mindset of anger. Why aren't you standing up for me? Why aren't you doing this? And in some cases, it's valid, but be careful because the minute we become defensive, they become defensive, and then the conversation's over.
Well, she won't do that. She already told me she's not gonna. She won't do that. And she said that, she's gonna continue to treat her.
No, I'm talking about to her husband.
No, she
Because,
won't. No. She won't do that to her husband.
okay, that's
No.
good. Because I know some feel that way, and sometimes they're justified in the feeling, but the handling of it is wrong. You do what God says with one another, you know what I mean? And you communicate, you always do it with love. And I think if she approaches her with that, with a loving of, I noticed you said I was jealous. Maybe there's something I'm missing. Can you help me? And
Right.
yeah, and I need it from God's word. And I need it. Give me some examples and let me think about it, and then I'll pray about it. I'll take my hurt feelings, put them in my back pocket. I just want to hear where you come from. But all I'm asking is now you hear where I'm coming from.
Okay. All right. Then I told her right because I did tell her very similar to what you're saying.
Okay. Good morning, man. Good job, sis.
Okay, good. Okay, because I just want to make sure because she's really concerned and I was trying to encourage her in the word and to help her to see it through the word. So
If they're
that's all.
newly married, this is just the beginning. So
Right. Yeah, they've been married maybe 2, 3 years now.
okay. Yeah, still newly married. That's
Yeah.
just, yeah, and this is stuff they want to establish. And usually we wait until it's a disaster before we start even thinking about these things.
No,
And
she's
that's
concerned
not
about
good.
her marriage. She don't want anything to come between her and her husband.
Okay, good. Now, one last thing. Don't not do anything in with the marriage. Don't just ignore it also. Does that make sense? It, because this is a problem if he is one way and they're not communicating and you just go, you know what, forget it. You're now a problem too.
So you saying that she should not wait until the woman does something else and then say something, and ask her husband, bring it to her husband and then see how it comes and how he approaches it and then, do the steps that we talked about.
To go to each other and say, well, I don't think we communicated. I gave you my answer and you gave me your answer, and now we're both sticking with our answers. But I don't know if I really assessed what you said. I just got my feelings hurt because you said I was jealous, and you didn't take, and you just saw what I did, and you thought it was crazy, so you thought I was jealous, and that's not communicating, So, and even if it's early, if they can go to their pastor or somebody that can be the person in between, the person of reason, spiritual reasoning, of course. But what too many do also is we don't say anything, and it's got Satan's like, I got, man, I'm setting them up for later because they're not talking about it.
Because she's kind of hesitant to say something because of the way he came off. He said more, but I can't remember what he said. And I was like, to me, I was like, he said that? I'm thinking to myself, he said that. And
But there's obviously something he's seeing. I'm not saying it's right, There's obviously something, and you want to know what is it you're seeing that you would say that, and not out of defense. I want to understand where you're coming from. You know what I mean? I want to get this, and
Well,
that's
he's
what you want
very
to do.
close to the sister-in-law because they've been grew kind of grew up together,
Okay.
and they have a long history. And she's, I guess she's the only sister-in-law, but so I think from what she said, that has a lot to do how he feels about her because they before she married him, they've always been Pat and him have always been very, very close.
What if it just plays a part? I mean, you see how we can assess, oh, because they're close, he's going to defend, blah, blah, blah.
No, I'm not saying what after she no he told he said to her
What?
that she's been in the family a long time
Oh, no,
and
I get that. No, I'm, believe me, I understand that. I'm saying, is that his only reason? It, or does he see jealousy coming from his wife that she probably didn't recognize? What if that's something that was part of her? Nobody brought it to her attention. Now she's displaying it, and everybody else is going, but no, what's the name? Solid. Maybe it's not mean. Maybe it's not. And like I said, us not knowing it, this is why the quick to listen, slow to speak comes into play. I want to hear what you're saying, and I got to take my hurt feelings. The hurt feelings were killing. I know too many, the majority of us, because of our defensiveness and our hurt feelings, we stay the problem. And that's not a good thing, especially in marriages, because you get one that'll go, oh, I'm done, and they're wrong, and you get the other one that'll defend themselves, and they're wrong, and then you're both wrong because you're just coming with your own point of view. And how it's supposed to be is, I want to hear where you're coming from. I want to understand. And the last thing, don't come at it with, I know what the answer is. That's what tends to happen sometimes, because we're convinced, because sometimes we go with how we feel. And that's another one. It's not always the truth.
Wait a
Majority
minute.
not
So
the truth.
just so I'm clear, so are you saying for her to go back and address what he said to her that she's just jealous?
Yep, ask. Help me. You said I was jealous, and I don't want to miss anything. And I apologize if I came off as jealous. Can you give me clarity on that? See what I'm saying? I want to fully understand why what you seen in me being jealous. Everything. I want to know the whole entire thing. But I'm also asking, please listen closely and ask questions when I present what I'm seeing, so we can come to a, you know, real understanding. And if they get that, man, they got the key to a long relationship, a long godly relationship.
Now she's supposed to show him examples of why she feels that she's the sister-in-law is treating her different,
If he can, that'd be great. But if, and if she's overly defensive too, if and he has to show examples, then they may be stuck with that. So always keep that in mind. And what I mean by that is, if sometimes they have to present it, if you ever tell somebody, well, because you did this. No, I didn't. Now, if they're one of those, then you have to, okay, I gotta wait till next time. And I'm asking you to be, you know, patient with me when I present this, just what I'm seeing. And I could be wrong. That's where we always have to really humble ourselves and step back with, I could be wrong. I'm telling you what I'm seeing. Help me to understand. And we're always doing it graciously, lovingly, carefully. What we don't want to do is approach a person with, here's the answer. Amen.
Amen.
All right. If you need others information, reach out to me. I'll do what I can to help.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Any other questions? We got 1 minute. All right. Thank you, family. Once again, please make sure you study this, stay on top of it. And God willing, we will get back on it next week. Let us pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, once again, for this opportunity to receive your word. Help us take it seriously and realize it is the path and key to life, because it is from you. Your word is truth, and we want to make sure we're following it. We know how easy it is for us to interject our own feelings, our own intelligence, the way we want to do things, but we want to make sure we're completely and reverently following what your word says. As we leave out here today, we do ask for blessings for those who are struggling, who are ill. We thank you for continual the healings that we're seeing, like on Sister Monique. We ask you for comfort and strength on Brother Mark, and the families, dear Lord. Just through these holidays, how many people that are alone, we ask you to let us keep our focus out there to make ourselves available and to help them during this time, but not just during this time, but throughout the year, dear Lord. Let us continue to grow in you and shine our light. and not make it about us, to live in a way that may be uncomfortable, but of course is glorifying you in every way. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen.
Amen.
Love you, family.
Love you too.